Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call our meeting to order this evening, for the Oro Valley Town Council regular session, July 20th, 2022. And invite Mr. Standish to do roll call.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. All the council members are present this evening. Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. Mr. Standish will announce upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Stormwater Utility Commission will hold their next meeting on July 21st at 4 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. The July 26th Board of Adjustment meeting has been canceled. And then the Water Utility Resources and Conservation Subcommittee will hold their next meeting on July 27th at 9:30 a.m. in the Kachina Conference Room. And then the next town council regular session for August 3rd is canceled, and as well as the second meeting in August. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll go to council reports this evening. Council Member Green has a report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I live next door to the community center, and I have been watching the incredible progress that the contractors are making up there, working around the monsoon and the rains and so forth. In the old days, they would come and resurface the tennis courts, and as they were driving away, the tennis courts would crack. And with this post-tensioned concrete, that is not going to happen. And they are adding additional pickleball courts, and they're really doing a great job for the town.
Thank you, Councilmember Green. Are there other council reports this evening? Seeing none, Ms. Jacobs, would you present your report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. We know that school is getting ready to reopen very soon, and staff has been working with the representatives of AmFi at Ironwood High School. The police department have identified the location of the future Hawk that will be on Naranja Drive. The equipment has been ordered, but it has not come in yet, and we don't have an ETA from our distributor on when that equipment is gonna come in. As soon as we know that, we'll have a better idea as to when it will be installed. In the meantime, the design is being finalized, and we will continue to work with the school on ensuring that the students who may be crossing Naranja are doing so safely. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs, for that report. The agenda will remain as posted. We'll go to the call to audience. This is an opportunity for anyone here this evening that would like to speak on a topic other than what is agendized this evening. And to do that, you simply go to the back of the room and fill out a blue card and give that to Mr. Standish or Ms. Stein. Ms. Stein to my right, Mr. Standish to my left, your right and left. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, Mayor and Council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, Council members may direct staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. I'd like to invite Deborah M. Wilson.
Down, down, down. And do I press that or you will? All right. Thank you for inviting me to speak about the impact of short-term rental and what it's having in our neighborhood. Our next-door neighbors unexpectedly and suddenly moved out without a word. But the house never went on the market. Sold without so much as a sign out front. A young family appeared to move in. We greeted the family and welcomed them to the neighborhood. We observed workers coming and going, renovation projects in full swing. Then the family disappeared. Soon after, we began noticing random cars parked in the driveway and people unloading their luggage, children, and pets. An internet search using the neighbor's address showed the house, the Habanero Hideaway, managed by a company named Vacasa. The description included close to U of A, sleeps 10, equipped with pool table in the living room, mini golf in the backyard, and a pool ready for guests, plus an ATM on the premises. Public information to welcome thieves into the neighborhood. Consistently, cars are parked in front of neighbors' houses, as many as 7 at last count. Loud parties continue long into the night. Trash cans are left outside with trash overflowing for animals, roaches, and rodents to feast on and spread throughout the neighbors' yards, creating an environment ripe for infestations. Bottles and cans litter the yard and street, including the watershed next to the house. The owners have no regard for the impact of their short-term rental and what it's having on our lovely neighborhood. The owners reported to the county that the house is their primary residence, but they live in Colorado and have not registered the house as a short-term rental. They've ignored our CC&R, specifically stating homes are single-family residences. The county clerk tells me that they are too short-handed to deal with short-term rentals, and there's not much they can do about it. Our HOA management company tells me their hands are tied as well. The neighbors of Kenyatta Ridge, and I have my husband and daughter here, and my neighbor across the street is here as well to support this, me addressing you. The neighbors, I'm speaking on their behalf, urge you to do whatever is within your power to regulate and limit short-term rentals before they take over neighborhoods, as is the case in neighboring cities. By limiting short-term rentals in Oral Valley and its neighborhoods, you provide opportunities for families to purchase homes instead of being pushed out by buyers and corporations who pay cash for homes, often over the asking price. A realtor friend of mine mentioned that many of her clients are now out-of-state buyers looking to purchase homes for short-term rentals here in Oral Valley. We need families in our beautiful neighborhoods, not strangers. Families that enjoy living in our community, attending our schools, and positively contributing to all that makes Oral Valley a great place to live. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you so much. I have no other call to audience blue cards. Councilmember Saul.
Mr. Mayor, yes. As part of call to the audience, I request that this be a future agenda item.
I second. Normally we would do that at the end, but... All right. Thank you. Was there any additional? Okay. We'll move on. We'll go to presentations. Mr. Standish, will you read the item, please?
Proclamation, Drowning Impact Awareness Month.
Thank you. I'll read the proclamation. Whereas Arizona's future prosperity depends upon the long-term health, safety, and well-being of the nearly 2 million children and teens in our state, and drowning is a top cause of injury and death for children and teens in Arizona, affecting not only the victims but also families, emergency personnel, and our society as a whole, and child drownings are nearly 100% preventable. And research-proven strategies can save lives, including constant and capable supervision, restricting access to water, use of life jackets, swimming lessons for adults and children at the appropriate age, and rapid emergency response, including CPR. And whereas during the month of August, Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona, in collaboration with state and local governments, community organizations, and private citizens, will be engaging communities throughout Arizona in a coordinated and comprehensive response. Now, therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oral Valley, do hereby proclaim August 2022 as Drowning Impact Awareness Month and urge all communities and citizens of Arizona to participate in efforts to reduce drowning risk, strengthen families, and protect children and teens. This evening we have Pima County Parks and Recreation Program Coordinator Jody Layton, who will accept the proclamation. So I'd like to invite Jody to come up to the rostrum. Would you like to speak?
Awesome.
To
thank you.
Is this on?
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. As a board member of the Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona, I would like to thank Mayor Winfield and all of the town council members for recognizing August as Drowning Impact Awareness Month. The Drowning Prevention Coalition of Arizona is comprised of parents, health and safety professionals, business leaders, and concerned citizens. The group exists to provide a forum for drowning prevention efforts through the promotion of education, legislative action, awareness, and enhanced product safety. With the rising summer heat in Tucson and, of course, all across Arizona, people naturally want to find ways to cool off, and unfortunately, this often includes swimming in bodies of water that are not lifeguarded, without adult supervision, and without barriers and layers of protection. There have been 5 water-related incidents reported in Pima County so far through July 14th of this year. Unfortunately, one of the incidents did result in a fatality. So we must remain vigilant and continue with our efforts in drowning impact and prevention messaging. Again, the DPCA thanks the town of Oro Valley for its continued support every year of our cause in helping to spread the message. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jody. We appreciate you being here this evening and doing all that you do to help spread this important message to everyone about reducing drowning in our community. The next, Mr. Standish, item 2 of presentations.
Presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 21-22 financial update through May 2022.
This evening, our Finance and Budget Administrator, Wendy Gomez, will present this item, and following that will be council questions.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm pleased to be presenting our financial update through May. We are nearly there, working on finalizing our numbers. As we've discussed throughout the fiscal year, we've had a strong one, a strong performance, and we do expect to end the year on a positive note. Jumping right in, we'll start with the general fund, our major revenue sources. Local sales tax, we are now over budget in that category. Our actuals are $25.2 million compared to our budget of $21.1 million. We are outperforming budget really across all categories for local sales tax. Construction sales tax is strong, likely due to the high permitting activity that we had last fiscal year. Retail looks good. Utilities is up. That could be due to the weather. Haven't had a whole lot of rain lately, unfortunately. But all categories performing very well. You can see strong recovery from COVID in our accommodation and restaurant and bar categories. State shared revenues, we're at $13.5 million, or about 98% of budget through May. We are seeing particularly strong state sales tax performance, so that is reflective in that year-end estimate, and we've also been collecting our new smart and safe funds starting this fiscal year. Charges for services, we've mentioned this previously, seeing excellent recovery in our recreation revenues following COVID. You remember we built a very conservative budget for those categories, not really knowing what the continuing impact would be, but pleased to report that we're nearly at 100% of budget through May, and we do expect to end the fiscal year about $2.7 million in that category. Licenses and permits, we are exceeding budget already through May in that category as well, due to both residential and commercial activity. Throw out just a couple figures on the residential first. We have 189 issued single-family residential permits through May, and another 9 for June. So we are at a total of 198 for the fiscal year. We budgeted 275, so while that sounds like a shortfall, likely higher valuations have helped offset that, and we are already over budget for residential revenues and what we budgeted there. Commercial performing strong as well. Our grant revenues, we just last week finally got our second ARPA payment. So we have booked in June the rest of our ARPA revenues, our unrestricted portion of $10 million. So that has all been fully booked now. And we do expect to end the fiscal year about $6.1 million in actuals for that category. And then finally, all other. That's primarily our IGA revenues from the RTA for transit, but also our interest income and some miscellaneous sources, expecting to come in about on budget in that category. Overall, for the general fund, our revenues through May are already exceeding budget at $48.8 million. We're going to see a variance of about $8.2 million, or 17.4%. Again, strong sales tax performance, strong state shared revenue, and permit revenues performing well also. Moving on to the expenditures and other financing uses for the general fund, personnel, we are expecting some savings by year end. We have actuals of $25.9 million through May. That's about 84% of the budget. Savings, again, due to personnel vacancies. That does look like a bit of a difference between the May and the actuals through May and the year end estimate, but we will have 3 payrolls that have posted in June. For our O&M, our actuals are $18.9 million for the fiscal year through May, or 85.8% of budget. We do have some facility maintenance savings expected. We did factor in particularly some capacity for spending of ARPA funds in that area for facility maintenance, and aren't going to spend nearly as much as we had anticipated in that category, but also prudent spending by departments. You know, departments are always watching their spending and making sure they're spending prudently, so we have some savings expected there as well. Capital, you can see our actuals are about $452,000. We're expecting to end the year quite a bit under budget, but again, that's due to the rollover of the Westward Look improvements into fiscal year 22-23. And finally, our transfers out, we only have a interest payment on the pension, on the newly issued pension obligation bonds this fiscal year. In total, our general fund expenditures, actuals are $49.6 million through May. We are expecting to come in under budget by about 6.5% or $4.5 million, primarily the savings and the transfers out, but also the savings on the O&M side and personnel as well. Here's the chart through May. You can see the revenues of $48.8 million compared to $45 million last fiscal year. And then on the expenditure side, obviously the actuals for the current year are reflective of our payment to PSPRS that was budgeted. You can see we plan to use fund balance of $14.2 million. I'm happy to report that we're expecting that we'll only need to utilize about $2 million. That's just a combination of our outperforming revenues and some of the savings on the expenditure side. That will land us at an ending fund balance of about $30.4 million, or 56.4% of budgeted expenditures. That exceeds Council's policy by nearly $17 million. Just as a reminder, going into next fiscal year, we did budget a $13 million transfer to the CIP fund. So really taking that excess fund balance and really dedicating it, pushing it towards capital needs per our financial policies. Moving on to the highway fund, the revenues look strong there. Our licenses and permits coming in just a bit over budget, exceeding our expectations there. State shared revenues, we've collected about $3.6 million through May. That's about 98.7% of our budget. We do expect to come in more than $300,000 over budget in that category. That's just due to strong performance we're seeing there in that category. And then all others, just some smaller revenue sources, insurance recoveries, and interest income. In total for the highway fund, we are at 99% of revenues compared to budget through May at $3.6 million. Again, due to those additional HERF revenues, we are expecting to come in over budget by about $375,000 or 10%. Moving on to the expenditures for the highway fund, things following the general fund there with the patterns for personnel. We still have three payrolls that we'll post in June, expecting to come in about on budget in that category. And same goes for operations and maintenance and capital. We don't typically see a whole lot of operations and maintenance savings in the highway fund. It's a pretty tight budget. So we are at 86.8% of budget, but are expecting to come in about on budget by year end after everything is booked. Capital as well, we're just seeing the final expenditures for our payment preservation program, as well as you recall we have the Lambert Lane overlay CIP project in the highway fund this fiscal year as well. We are at 88.9% spent of budget. Actuals are $3.6 million for expenditures. And again, the year-end estimate of about $4.1 million, just some slight personnel savings for the fund. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Revenues collected $3.6 million compared to $3.4 million last fiscal year. Our expenditures are at $3.6 million compared to $2.6 million last year. That may seem like a big difference, but again, we do have our Lambert Lane CIP project that we've been spending in this fund. That's a budget of $575,000. And then just the timing of our pavement preservation program, too. You know, we have both our fall treatments and spring treatments, and those can differ in terms of the timing. We did budget to use some fund balance in this fund of about $443,000. Due to the additional HERF revenues that we're expecting to collect, only expecting to use about $46,000 in fund balance. And that would land us at a fund balance of about $1.2 million. Moving on to the Community Center Fund, strong revenues there on the contracted operating side of things. Actuals are already exceeding budget by about 24%. The actuals are $4.5 million. We are expecting to have a year-end estimate of about $4.7 million. So nearly $1 million over budget in that category, a little over a million actually, about 28.3% over budget. And we've been mentioning this in previous reports, just strong across all categories, member dues, golf outside play, et cetera. Same goes with the town operating revenues. We were, again, very conservative in this fund with revenues, not knowing for sure what the rebound would be from COVID, but pleased to report we have strong recreation program revenues in this fund, and also our member dues are outperforming budget as well. And then our other revenues, that's obviously our half-cent sales tax and then our HOA contributions that we collect in this fund, as well as our interest income and some other small miscellaneous revenues. We are at $3.5 million collected in those categories, or already over budget, 112.2%, and are expecting to come in on, over budget about $3.6 million. For the fund in total, we've collected actuals of $9.1 million. We are expecting to exceed budget by a total of $2.1 million, or 28.3% in the fund. Again, strong sales tax performance, our fitness and recreation program revenues on the town side, and then our contractor performance as well. Moving on to the expenditures in the Community Center Fund, contracted operating expenditures, actuals are $4.2 million through May, or 88.8% of budget. They are expecting some personnel savings and O&M savings, and that's reflective in their year-end estimate of about $4.6 million. That's about $125,000 in savings, or 2.7% compared to their budget. For the town operating expenditures, actuals are about $918,000 through May, or about 85%. And we are expecting to exceed budget slightly in this category due to some additional grounds maintenance costs that have been performed in this fund, as well as our contract personnel costs. So I did mention on the revenue slide that we've had really good program revenues, recreation program revenues. which is great news, obviously. But on the flip side, we do have the contractor payments that result in that. So that is also expecting to come in over budget just due to that additional activity. Capital, we're expecting to end the year on budget in the community center fund. You can see actuals there about $112,000 compared to the budget of $132,500. And then our transfers out, we've mentioned this in previous months. We will only have just an interest payment on the Parks and Rec bonds and no principal payment this fiscal year, and that's reflective in our year-end estimate. In total, community center fund expenditures are at about 69% of budget through May, or about $5.4 million. Again, we are expecting to see those savings, primarily the transfers out, but also a little bit of those contracted operating expenditure savings as well. In total, about a 20.8% expected budget savings. Moving on to the chart for the Community Center Fund, you can see really that strong revenue growth compared to last fiscal year, $9.1 million compared to $7 million, and then expenditures up just a bit compared to last fiscal year, $5.4 million compared to $5 million. We did budget to use fund balance in the Community Center Fund of about $400,000. Due to the outperforming revenues, as well as not needing to make that principal transfer on the debt service, we are expecting to have a surplus in the fund of about $3.3 million, and that would bring us to an ending fund balance right around $6 million at June 30. And with that, we will take any questions you may have.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gomez. Questions from Council? Councilmember Nicholson and then Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
One question. The president was talking about doing a holiday tax for fuel. Would that affect us directly? I don't know. A federal tax holiday on fuel?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nicholson, it likely could. I don't have a whole lot of details on that, but a portion of our HERF revenues is not only the gas tax, but it's also some of the vehicle license tax. But yeah, that could potentially have an impact.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you. Wendy, the ARPA funds that we've received, are there any federal restrictions on how those are spent?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Jones-Ivy, our total allocation was $15.4 million. $10 million of that is what you'd consider free and clear. There are no restrictions on that. We have booked all of that and received that amount. What we are now looking at, which we've already received, is the restricted portion. So that has more restrictions on it with the plans to spend on water utility, the NERDS project, most likely for that restricted portion of those funds.
I'd like to understand what those restrictions are, if you have that off the top of your head.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Jones-Ivy, I know that water infrastructure was one of the requirements. I believe it's been a while since I visited those, but I believe there were a couple of other categories. I think fiber may have been a spendable category as well. Water and fiber are what is sticking out to me at the moment. Our CFO may recall more details on the restrictions, but I know the plan is to spend it on the NERDS project, so I may have kind of set the rest of those potential uses to the side, outside my brain or my realm of memory.
Gary?
It's David.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, members of council, Councilmember Jones-Ivy, another category was premium pay for certain categories of employees that were responding to or directly impacted by COVID. So that was another category. And I believe there's a fourth one, and that one's escaping me as well. So, but the categories are very specific and very defined and limited in terms of much more limited than the CARES Act monies that the town received. And so water is definitely one of those areas that that is absolutely, in terms of capacity and infrastructure, absolutely a green light for us, for the town to move forward with utilizing the funds in that manner.
Okay, thank you.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. Again, a lot of good news on our budget tonight. Thank you, Ms. Gomez. On the whole of our budget, do you have any expectation of where we would end up, where revenues would compare to expenses? I know in our financials, there's all of the revenues and expenses to date from all of those different funds. Do we have any year-to-date estimates on that?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, it's probably a little too soon to tell on that, quite frankly. We're still booking quite a bit of stuff, and we'll be into August making those adjustments. What I can refer to is attachment D, where we do show a summary of all of our funds. That was kind of roughly where we were at through May. There's going to be, when all is said is done, you know, accounting adjustments. But we do have in our attachment D through May total revenues and other sources of about $134.5 million. Total out expenditures and other financing uses of about $105.3 million. Again, it's just a little too early to tell.
Right.
Once we get closer to making sure everything's finalized and booked, we'd be happy to bring back those figures for you.
Okay, thanks. So through May, we have a $29 million surplus, basically, of what we've brought in versus what we've spent. And that's counting the $10 million that got spent towards the PSPRS as a cost, right?
I think that's fair. Yes, Vice Mayor.
Yeah, okay. And then I want to talk a little bit about the council policy 25% reserve. We say it exceeds the council policy by 16.
Point of order.
Oh, I'm asking.
And what's the point of order? What's the nature?
I didn't know we were talking about town financial policies. I thought, according to the agenda, this was simply presentation and possible discussion of the town FY21-22 financial update through May. Not town financial policies.
Councilmember Solomon, if I could ask my question.
I'm waiting for the attorney.
I think there was simply a reference to the policy, not a discussion about the policy.
I'd like to hear the question. I'm assuming the question is just in regard to that policy,
yes.
Not putting an agenda item to change the policy at this time.
Yes.
So, let's hear the question.
Yeah, thank you. How much money is the 25%? Policy at this point for our budget?
In terms of budget for the 25% policy, our budget for expenditures was about, well, expenditures and transfers out, was about $61.3 million. We do back off the transfers when we calculate that percentage, but if we are expecting to end the fund balance in the year with a fund balance of about $30.4 million, and we're exceeding by 16.9, then it's about $13 million, if my math is serving me correctly.
Okay. So our ending fund balance will exceed the council policy by more than double?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then it looks like in the general fund, there's a $2 million budgeted use of fund balance. And in the community center fund, your slide shows a $3.3 million surplus. So between the general fund and the community center fund, we have a surplus?
Yes, that's correct, Vice Mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from Councilmember Bowen?
Ms. Gomez, could you open up attachment A, please, for the general fund? And if we could just scroll down a little bit to the bottom. Thank you. Is it correct that the year-end deficit we predict as of the end of May is about $2 million?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, yes, that's correct. I would stress that we aren't done with the fiscal year. We still have quite a bit to book, and these are just year-end estimates. But yes, that's where we are expecting to finish the fiscal year at this point in time.
Is it correct that the last time that we had this report, we predicted that the deficit would be about $5.9 million?
I believe that's correct. I don't have April in front of me, but yes.
So we had a pretty good month, at least in reporting. Regarding the actuals, the change in fund balance of $826,862, does that reflect what we've actually earned this year in the general fund versus what we've spent in the general fund?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, for the most part, again, I mentioned there are some year-end adjustments that we make, and so I don't know that I would look at this as a hard-coded, you know, this is definitely the revenues that we've earned, and these are definitely all the expenditures that we've spent, but this is what's reflected in our financial system through May.
I can assure you I'm not looking at it as being hard-coded, but rather as part of a trend, a series of data that we get each and every month. And I just wanted to ask in the public meeting, does this, you know, total expenditures of $49 million, does that include the one-time $10 million PSPRS payment?
It does, yes.
So outside of the PSPRS payment, we've spent about $39 million this year.
Well, that's fair, yes, Councilmember Bowen.
So without that payment, we would have approximately a $10 million surplus at this point.
That's correct.
And in my other question on this, could go up to the top and zoom out a little bit. You know, we've spent $49 million and we've earned $48 million, but at the end of the year, the numbers are a lot bigger, you know. We've got $7 million in revenues coming in and about $8 million in expenditures coming in. Why does such a high percentage of the revenues and expenditures get recognized in the final month?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, there are year-end accruals that we have to make. So our sales tax and our state shared revenues, there is a little bit of a delay with the actuals and what's reflected in there. Same goes with our IGA with the RTA for transit. Those actuals are always a little bit behind in terms of the invoices that we bill, and we get those caught up at year end. So quite a bit of accruals that end up getting posted in the last fiscal year. It's not that June is a strong month or a particularly strong month, quite the opposite, actually. It's usually sort of a slower month for the town in terms of revenue collections, but there's just a lot more year-end adjustments that we know are going to be made with revenues recognized this fiscal year.
And can we now open up attachment E? I believe that's the attachment for the sales tax revenue. So is it correct that the numbers for March, April, and May of 21-22, they're a lot bigger than the same numbers for March, April, and May of 2021. So we have a pretty positive trend on sales tax.
Yes.
And I just wanted to share with the public, that trend is $400,000 or $500,000 a month and up to $1 million a month. We're going to collect about $6 million more in sales tax revenue than we predicted. And I just wanted to make that point. As the vice mayor said, our ability to spend next year is driven by how much money we actually save this year. We have to save at least 25% of next year's expenditures. And when our deficit is dropping so dramatically in the end months of the year, I feel like that's good news that's coming far too late to us. Our hands might appear to be tied in January and February that we can't spend next year. But when the revenues really start coming in at the end of the year, we have no problems whatsoever. And I'm just concerned, and I've made this point, and I will continue to make this point every month that I'm here, that we have to start tracking the trends at the beginning of the year, not just at the end of the year. Because I think there were very positive trends at the beginning of this year. I recall saying I bet that the deficit was going to be $3 million at the end of the year when it was predicted to be five. Now it's going to be two, and maybe even as low as one. Who knows when we report next month? But I just wanted to let the public know this council member is completely attuned to what we're spending all the time, and I'm also watching the money that's coming in because that's just as important as what we spend. Knowing what's coming in, when, how and whether it can be expected to continue is essential to us being responsible financial stewards for this community. Thank you.
Other questions?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Yes. Believe it or not, I think other council members or members are also paying attention to the numbers. That may surprise some people. My concern is the sales tax revenue in May. We know we have high inflation. We know the vast majority of financial people are predicting a recession. We know that the feds have basically said they're going to kill inflation, and they're happy to put us into a recession to do that. If we could have that chart back up, please. So my question was going to be, and it seems to be borne out in this, is that we see a significant, a reasonable drop in the May tax revenues from April. So my question is, what's the feel of this inflation and pending recession that we're about to enter on decreasing our sales tax revenues? I just saw an article today on Bloomberg saying that people are actually cutting back on buying basic staples, which is what we really rely on. We don't have car dealerships. We don't have high-end furniture stores and things like that. We have Walmart, Home Depot, and, you know, Target, those type of stores here. So what are we really looking at, or do you have a feel for the decrease in sales tax revenues?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, we have been watching that and have been aware that that could be forthcoming. As a result, we did budget a pretty conservative sales tax for next fiscal year, sales tax revenue. That's sort of our regular operating mode, if you will, is to tend to budget conservative for these specific sort of situations. I'm confident that we're well prepared going into next fiscal year. I'm confident that we're prepared for any slowdown we may see. We are not at this time expecting any sort of severe downturn in the revenues, perhaps more of a softening.
Okay, so have you, I know it's my question is, have you started to notice anything? It sounds like you've said maybe a little, but so far not drastic.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, I would say no, not yet. The revenues are still looking very strong through May.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from council? Ms. Gomez, I'm curious, along that line of discussion, do we see a relationship between the our residents who are here just part of the year and leave typically in May and return in November? Do we see?
Mr. Mayor, we do. Yeah, that's why I'd mentioned earlier that June tends to be sort of a slow month for us. A lot of people have taken off to avoid the heat. So yeah, we do see those patterns with our revenues, yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Nicholson?
I'll just mention one thing. So every recession is a little different. In this specific recession, we have corporations in America are sitting on $4 trillion of cash, which is 400% higher than they've been in the last few recessions. And also, they're still hiring, and the profit margins are much higher than we've had in the last recession. So I think that's why the markets turned around this last week. That was on Wall Street Journal interview, by the way. That's why the market's been going up. But, yeah, I really do want to see, like Tim and Steve were both talking about the revenues and expenses, but yeah, it's something I've been really cautious about, and I think I'm glad that you do this every council session. I know it takes a lot of work, but it's really good for us to like see like where these numbers are coming back and forth, up and down, and it's nice to see this not too dire yet, but I am worried for the future, but I do appreciate the reports that you give us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, see no other questions. Thank you, Ms. Gomez, for that very favorable financial report and responding to council's questions.
You're welcome.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Nicholson. Discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The ayes have it, 7-0. I will go to the regular agenda. Mr. Standish, item 1.
Resolution number R22-32, adopting the 2022-2023 general pay plan for the town of Oro Valley.
Our Human Resources Director, Andy Potava, will present this item.
Good evening, Council. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here again. I would like to share with you that the plan, from my point of view, is to give you a short presentation today and then talk about questions that you might have on the general pay plan. As you recall, back on July the 6th, we presented to you, staff presented to you, a proposal for the 22-23 general pay plan. That pay plan was tabled for further information. And as a result of that, we issued the final report from HRNO, and Igor Shevelev is here again with us today to answer any questions that you might have. And we held three meetings with council members so that you could ask questions. You could hear the methodology that was used in the study that underlined the premise of the general pay plan. In addition to the methodology, you could see the data, even the proprietary data that was included, so that you could see what the methodology actually was and could touch it, and then answer any of your questions. So that's what we did in the meantime. Yesterday, we issued a council report so that you could all hear the same information that was described in the three meetings, so that you all felt like you got the same information. So what I thought I would do today, again, just a very short presentation, just to warm up any conversation that you might have, is to talk about the plan itself. It's very similar to what we've currently have in place for 21-22, but there are some differences that I want to highlight. So the similarities are that each pay grade in the plan is built sequentially 5% higher than the one lower than it, and it's 50% wide or in bandwidth, and that is currently the way the plan is constructed. The difference today in this proposal is that instead of a minimum wage of $12.80 in the plan per hour, that this proposal moves the minimum town rate to $15 an hour. That's the cornerstone of the plan. So in essence, it lifts the whole plan up and over. So the purpose of this proposal is to make sure that the town of Oro Valley remains competitive in the labor market in southern Arizona. So with that, I think that I would like to also just talk about some of the issues that arose out of the meeting, and there were probably four significant ones. So I want to just bring those up so that you can, again, have any questions that you might have. One is that we, all of you talked about the 300-level jobs, which, as you recall, the jobs are broken into three parts. The 100 series is the non-exempt positions. These are people who, employees that are paid hourly. And then the second tier are the 200s, which are exempt employees. They receive a salary for what they, services they provide for the town. And then the 300 series is a small group of individuals that are actually named town officers in the code. So there's 13 people in that group. So there was significant discussion around the 300s, and I think the reasoning for that was that the variance against the labor market that was presented was, in some cases, over 10%, in some cases even over 20%. So we had good discussion around that major issue. We had really good discussion around the comparators that were used in this study. This is the second major issue. Just for recollection, we used Southern Arizona as the study area, and that study area included the city of Tucson, Pima County, town of Marana, Tucson Unified School District, and then some proprietary data from ERI from two different sources. So that's where the data was actually derived from. There was lots of good discussion around whether or not a geographical analysis might have been done or a population-based analysis might be done. So that was issue number two. Issue number three was there was some discussion around should the study have actually been wider in its scope and considered more than just pay, but including all kinds of total reward concepts, which might include benefits, might include work factors like remote work, or it might include quality of life in Oral Valley. So there was good discussion about that. Issue number four was the relationship between the structure that's being presented to you today versus the actual pay increases that employees might receive. So there was discussion about the actual structure, which I just generally described, versus the proposed or the 4.25% increase that's being expected for most employees in this coming fiscal year. So those are two separate and distinct things. The item before you today to remain competitive with our comparators is to adopt the structure. And then budgeted, we have budgeted, in fact, 4.25% for a general increase for all employees. So that was issue number four. And then another issue that was raised, there was good discussion around what I would describe as the top end of the ranges. Those are hard stops. But we also talked about whether there could be other mechanisms to help alleviate that hard stop on a cap. Can we have class series? Can we have general reclassifications that would go on and so on? So that would be my characterization of the major things that we talked about in those three meetings. And hopefully you found the town council report that we issued at least instructional around those issues. And so what I was hoping that we could do today is continue that conversation. We would like to, of course, recommend that you adopt the general pay plan for 22-23. I've invited Igor from HRNO to answer any questions about the report. And, of course, I'll answer any of your questions around issues that you might have about the plan itself. Thank you.
We'll open it. I have one blue card, so there's no presentation.
Correct.
This was your presentation.
This was the presentation.
Okay, well done.
I
do have one blue card, so I'd like to invite Mr. Loomis to come up.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Paul Loomis and a resident of Oral Valley. Hopefully you all received and read my email. I'd like to identify some highlights from the email. First, I know things change, and each council has its own agenda and priorities. I'm glad this is your decision and not mine. In the past, the HR department had a comprehensive policy for compensation plans. This policy provided the requirements for the annual pay plans and the comprehensive studies. I have no idea if that policy is still in place or if it has been revised since 2010. I do know that the boilerplate introductions, processes, investigations are basically the same for each study from the consultants going all the way back to 2003. The words are the same. The things that change are the comparables, the job markets, salaries, and economic conditions. These changes are what caused the need for the study. This 2022 study identifies significant variances between the comparables and Oral Valley's employee salaries. However, there is no information about the weighting factors that were used to develop the new pay plan. It sounds like you all have gotten some additional information that has not been made public yet. There is no discussion of the responsibilities for each comparable position that is available for your or the public's review. For example, Tucson's Park and Recreation Director serves over 1 million people. Oro Valley serves less than 50,000. What considerations were made to support the 20.1% raise for the Oro Valley Director? There's no discussion why 22 of the 30 job titles that are have variances greater than 10% are either directors and above, and the professionals in Series 200. There is also no discussion of the detailed comparable. While the rationale can be explained, it is not in the material that has been presented to you or the public. Finally, I want to highlight the impact of this pay plan on the future. This additional approximately $825,000 is a continuing expense for all future personnel budgets. It will continue to grow due to the cost of living increases year after year. The town's personnel costs are 70% of the overall general fund budget and are 84% of the sales tax and state shared revenue portion of the general fund budget. State shared revenue and sales taxes are the most reliable sources of revenue for the general fund. I believe information is available or can be generated in the next several weeks. The funds are budgeted and can be made retroactive to whenever you decide. Please continue this item with direction to provide justifications you requested earlier and have been identified in this letter and my email and any additional information you have come up with tonight. Thank you for your attention on this matter and for all you do. Thank you.
I'd like to open it up to council questions. Councilmember Bowen.
Regarding the update to the minimum wage level, did I hear you correctly that we were using $12.80 and now we're moving to $15?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, yes, we had one classification that was at the state minimum wage of $12.80 per hour. The vast majority of the part-time jobs were in the low 1300s, like 1315, 1325. And the proposal is to move the minimum wage to 15 based upon what's happening in the labor market in Pima County, particularly the city of Tucson, with their ordinance for the general business population and then also their $15 minimum wage for their employees. So $15 an hour is, I think, becoming the standard in the area. We want to remain competitive, particularly with our part-time employees, which is the lion's share of the cost that's in front of you. Just so that we can remain competitive, we can maintain the continuity of operations in our various governmental entities.
When I do a calculation, I can see that's about a 17-18% increase. So that impacts the very bottom level. And yes, I'm not saying that work is bottom level at all. That work's absolutely essential to keeping our town running. But does that have the effect of bumping up the next level right above that by effectively 17% in order to maintain the same spread?
So, Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, the way the structure works is each pay grade, and particularly in the part-time, are built 5% sequentially higher than the next. So there's actually five pay grades that are in the part-time ranks. So that minimum wage in the first level is $15. The second level is 5% higher, which is $15.75. That's the minimum. And then so each one goes up a little bit higher. The only deviation from that formula is the fifth and highest, and that's our fitness instructors. That's, I think, if I remember right, starts at about $22 an hour. So that is not built upon the lower four. It's just a market-driven number.
The one that's built upon $22 an hour, it's not. Can you clarify a little bit? I didn't follow that.
Yes. Let me try again. Thank you, sir. So the first four pay grades, the minimum on pay grade number one in part-time is $15. The second is $15.75. The third is 5% higher than that. The fourth is 5% higher than that. And then the fifth is actually free-floating. It was just based upon a $22 an hour start rate. So there's a gap between level 5 and level 4. And that's just driven based upon the market for fitness instructors.
So effectively, the increase in the minimum wage, it kind of stops bumping levels up between level 4 and 5.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, so we did not make any changes to the slotting or the placement of classifications into the part-time structure. So any of the jobs that were in the first level stayed in the first level. Any classification that was in the second level stayed in the second level. So effectively, everybody did get the bump up.
Okay, and then finally, regarding the fact that, you know, 22 of the 30 roles that got the largest bumps were in the 200 and 300 level, would that have been expected by the number of roles that we have at 100, 200, and 300?
Expected.
That two-thirds of them would be in 200 and 300.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, we didn't go into the study with any preconceived notions. The idea was to have a study of the labor market as it exists today, particularly knowing that we're in a aggressive inflationary environment. So I don't think we came in with preconceived notions. What we found was, and I think what we shared in the meetings, is that with the public data that was used to develop the labor market that was presented to you, we used Marana as the primary competitor, which was 50%. The city of Tucson was 25, and Pima County was 25, and that's what was used for the 300s. Under the theory and the premise that these jobs at this level are not just local but also regional and national jobs, and that typically you have to pay what you have to pay in order to hire for these jobs. But that's what we wanted to use as sort of the baseline for what these jobs might be worth on the open market.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other, or Vice Mayor Barrett?
Okay, I'd like to go back to Councilmember Bowen's questions about the $15 per hour minimum wage. What is your plan for dealing with the compression that that inevitably will cause?
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, the compression issue, we have a second level project under design right now. So if compression exists, our plan is to, first of all, study that, find it, and then put together a proposal that would begin to address compression. Now, what we're planning to do with the general increase to all employees is a general increase of 4.25. So there won't be any further compression that gets created by 4.25 except in some very small pockets. So we'll be studying those, and we'll be coming up with recommendations and solutions for those in the second phase of the project.
Okay. So when we're talking about a 17 to 18% increase like Councilmember Bowen referenced, then we add 4.25% on top of that. So the minimum wage goes up to 15, and then they have 4.25% on top of that?
So, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, what we're planning to do is anybody who is below the range, so anybody, for example, would be at $13.15 at one of those part-time jobs, the first step would be, in fact, move them up to the $15 minimum wage, and then they would get a 4.25% increase on top of that. So those very low-wage earners would, in fact, get a large increase. For those individuals, for those employees who are already in the range and aren't being moved up to the bottom, the general increase will be 4.25%, and that's representative of wage inflation in southern Arizona. And that is what the raise will be. So there won't be any larger raises than that unless you're below the range.
Aren't these moving of ranges supposed to take into account wage inflation in southern Arizona?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett. So the study data that we have, of course, reflects the general labor market as we've studied it and as HRNO has recommended. And because it's a range, the desire of staff is to make sure that individuals can move through the range as they progress with their levels of experience. So this is our attempt to keep pace with that and remain competitive in the local marketplace.
Okay. I'd like to speak for just a moment about the comparables that were used. So from my meeting with you, and I want to make clear for the public by asking you the question, we didn't actually compare, say, one of our directors to a lower level position in Pima County or Tucson. We compared it to a higher level in Pima County or Tucson and then weighted it at 25% each.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, what was presented from HRNO was the median, the weighted median labor market as the study established. So I would like to turn to Igor just for a moment to talk about the question that you've just asked, if I may.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, Madam Vice Mayor, we compared director to director. However, director in larger organization was weighted at the lower ratio to have lower impact on and lower influence on the aggregate data. For example, the director of, finance in Marana was compared to director of finance in town of Oro Valley. And that was the highest and the best match. And we assigned 50% weight to that match. In city of Tucson, we assigned 25%. Reducing the influence of that that benchmark. In ERI, Economic Research Institute, broad data, we compare to director and assign equal weight because we use the same revenue size and the same industry as Town of Marana.
Okay, while you're up there, are you finished? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I'm done with this question. I can answer your following question.
Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. Thank you. So our comparisons to Marana were after Marana had completed their own study, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then I wanted to ask you one more while you're up here about the minimum wage. You mentioned in our meeting something about potentially delaying that until October when the minimum wage report comes out. Can you explain that a little bit further, what that minimum wage report is and what that would entail?
What I mentioned is that Arizona legislators did not publish minimum wage, actually what it's going to be in Arizona. It will be published in September, October. We anticipate October early. The reason they publish it in October, because the law actually, Prop 206, Arizona Minimum Wage Act, suggests that, reads that minimum wage every year in Arizona will go up exactly by the percentage of CPIU at the end of August. Actually, in August, 12 months ending in August. What it means is that they have to wait August and see what's going to be the CPIU, which we anticipate being 9%, for example. And if it's 9%, then in September, October, they will announce that minimum wage will increase by 9%. On that note, if I may add one important point, actually two. First of all, if in case we're not going to go back to this, I wanted to make sure that I clarify something. On several occasions, it was said that our study compares salaries of employees in another organization at the higher level of scope and authority and accountability. And the clarification I want to make is we did not compare, and we are not comparing salaries. We compare market range for the job from minimum to maximum. Those ranges moved. That's a fact. I mean, there's statistics, there's proven labor data published every month. We can prove it, we can provide evidence. The thing about moving those ranges, now I'm getting back to my second point, which you already asked that question, about compression. How we factor compression in our study? compression affects all the jobs that are not at the entry level, but at technical, skilled labor occupations. What happens is, because minimum wage goes up, and in Arizona, in Arizona, by the way, Arizona is, this year was second in the United States, second state, by the highest growth in minimum wage for the last 5 years. In this October, we predict that it will be number one state. We increase from 2016, minimum wage increased by 59%. We anticipate it will increase by another 8 to 9% comes January 1st. The way it affects the labor market in Tucson, specifically in Arizona in general, is that all technical jobs that are not at the bottom earning levels, technical, skilled, non-exempt mostly, blue-collar jobs, they experience that compression. They, in the labor market, they increased. And some of them increased dramatically. When we did study, we captured that data. And we, based on the data that we capture, we identify ranges for those jobs. Your heavy equipment operator, if you pay them $14 or $15 2 years ago, 18 months ago, you have to pay them $20 now. We captured that. That compression already in the study, it's captured, and those ranges identified already after compression affected them. What is important also to mention is that the ripple effect went all the way to professional jobs, to 200s and to 300s. And that's why you have many jobs at anywhere from over 5 and over 10% below the labor market.
Are you done? Councilmember Nicholson?
This is for Igor. First of all, I love people that have a knowledge in numbers and statistics and data, so I love you, Igor. You were very much impressed me when we did the questions earlier, so I don't say that very often, but anyways, first of all, we're talking about raising people's pay. Oro Valley, we want to stay competitive. We want to make sure our employees are paid well. Chrissy does a great job with Parks and Rec, Tobin, Riley, and Judge Hazel keep our community safe. Paul, you do a great job keeping our roads good and our infrastructure. Melcher bringing in businesses, Mary taking care of us, crew. So we want to stay competitive. I know we're talking about the $12.80 to $15 an hour. So doing that, basically, we just have to stay competitive with Tucson. My worry is, you know, it's inflationary. So, you know, you pay them 20% more. But eventually, we should get 20% revenue because now TV, just you got to pay the employees more. You got to pay more for the stuff. So TVs will go up by 20%, but then taxes will go up 20% because you pay taxes on that. So it's kind of an inflationary measure. I was a little worried about small businesses because if you're raising $12.80, you know, sometimes government does compete with private. So you hear private sector was struggling to get jobs or higher employment after COVID. Now that hasn't been as bad, but doing the business visits, they're getting paid $16, $17, $18 an hour. So that made me not quite as worried. So, Igor, you had a very good example because I was worried about inflation. If inflation's going up 8, and the last one that came out was 9.2%, so I'm like, okay, well, shouldn't the pay go up 9.2%? And you explained it way better than I ever could, but can you explain a little bit why we're getting the 4.2% raise even though inflation is at 9.2%? And I thought you could explain that better than
that. Yes. When Arizona legislators enacted that law on Prop 206, moving minimum wage with CPIU every year, they never asked us, the experts in the field. And I don't know who they asked, but tying wages to inflation is not always a good idea because inflation is very volatile. It's unpredictable. It goes up, it goes down. And the worst in this situation is that inflation goes up simultaneously with typically with the economy is going down. So we never recommend our clients to institute cost of living adjustments and call it cost of living. Because in 2016, cost of living CPIU was 0.7%, less of 1 percentage point. Everybody in the United States, in average, received 2.7% salary increases. There were no complaints from employees that inflation and CPIU only 0.7%. Why you pay us about 3% increases? This year, you will have, Andy will have in his office, employees lining up with a printout from economists, from Bloomberg, from Times, saying inflation is 9%, why are you paying us only 4.25%? We always saw the track, we're tracking, not cost of living, but cost of wages. If you compare cost of living of Oro Valley with San Francisco today, you have to make $100,000 in Oro Valley to buy exact same baskets of goods in San Francisco, you have to spend $220,000. However, if you are an accountant and you go to San Francisco and you want to get the job and you expect to get $222,000 for your $100,000 here, that would be failing exercise. You're not going to get it because cost of wages is not cost of living. Over there, you will get probably $150,000, $160,000. 4.25% is what at the end of 2021 was employer cost index, which is inflation not of goods and services, but inflation of wages. Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes it every month. We track it every month. We review those reports, and we keep trend. We keep following the trend. And at the end of 2021, civilian employers in United States overall, in average, gave employees 4.5% increase. In public sector, it was 4% increase. However, by March, and we started this project at the beginning of the year, but by March, 12 months trailing March 2022, that number went up to 5%. That's why we think that 4.25%, at the time we decided that this is a good number to provide employees increase, was equal to employer cost index or cost of wages. This number is justified. Did I answer your question?
Yes,
council member.
Yeah, I just wanted the public to hear your answers because they were fantastic. I have time for another question. The director level, can you explain a little bit about that? Because, I mean, Melanie brought up the point about Pima County, Tucson, much, much bigger. But you had an answer for that as far as, like, being competitive and how you got to compete for them to leave you want to retain them, right? So the opportunity for them to move into those other jobs, and can you explain that just a little bit?
There are two ways to do that. And some of the council members and Madam Vice Mayor already mentioned it's a good policy to compare director to assistant director or deputy director in a larger, much larger organization. Assigning different weight is just as good of the methodology. The reason we didn't do that is simple truth. When we look at duties, responsibilities, accountability, level of autonomy, level of authority, level of complexity of director of the department, even though it's a larger department. And we look at duties, responsibilities, day-to-day operations of assistant director. We always find that director is strategic. Assistant director is transactional. Director is visionary. Assistant director is operational. Therefore, in case of some of the directors, especially directors in engineering, in public service, safety, you can compare them to assistant because this is not exact job. It's not what they do on a daily basis. They do completely different things. Even though even though you would think that director of City of Tucson is has 6,000 employees, and Pima County has 15,000 employees. And yet what we, by the way, what we found when we studied, that Marana, in many cases, pays more to directors than Pima County. We can show it to you. In those meetings, we actually demonstrated this. We also found that Economic Research Institute that tracks all public entities and agencies of your size shows higher salary than what Pima County pays in many cases. When we aggregate them, when we compare, put them in one bucket, we found that when you put 50% weight to Marana, 25 to Pima and 25 to Tucson, you get to exact, to very close to good reading of the labor market range for that job.
And the last question was, I don't want to say the position because it's there's only one position, but there was a little talk of one person only getting like a $300 raise. And but you talked about the certain positions comparing to other cities and, you know, the length of the time. Let me preface that. You were talking about earlier how you're, you know, the director level, assistant director. So a lot of times what you see is probably an assistant director level at Tucson maybe gets hired as a director level Oro Valley, you know, a higher position but a smaller town. But then those people will probably apply for the director level position in 5 or 6, 7 years. So in this one specific position, you know, it seemed like a really small raise and I was concerned about it, but then speaking with you, you talked a little bit about the length of the person's been in there and the pay they were at that level. So can you talk about why maybe some employees were shown like only a small adjustment, whereas others it seemed like they had a really big adjustment?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, Council Member Nicholson, what happens if you look at the study and you look at the labor market, you're absolutely right. We compare ranges, and when we say your range is 20% below the market, that does not mean that your incumbent in that job is 20% below the market. Incumbent can be in your current pay range at 75th percentile of the range. An incumbent in Tucson may be at 25th percentile of the range. What is important in competitiveness of the labor market, unfortunately, it's coming to government or agencies late. Many government agencies, they hire people at the minimum of the range, and they expect them over time with 3 to 4% increases grow and stay with the government, and many stay with the government. But I, for one, worked for the government for Pima County for 7 years, and when I was leaving organization, taking your time telling personal stories, but I promise I have a point and it's related to the question. When I was leaving for private organization with a pay increase of 70%, my manager told me, "Why are you leaving? Don't you know what kind of pension you're going to get in 27 years? And I laughed at that. I said, and his name is Kevin, and he is Oro Valley, he's Oro Valley resident, by the way. Kevin Flint was very good manager of compensation and classification of Pima County for many years. And I told him, if you think that I'm going to wait 27 years here for my retirement, you don't know me. What I guess I'm trying to say, and I hope our study will reflect that employees each employee thinks that he or she has internal intrinsic value. And they compare this value in the labor market, and they know that they're going to get this value, salary or those benefits in the labor market if they go there. When we compare ranges, the study compares ranges of general labor market with ranges here. What we recommend, town of Oro Valley, and we will be happy if you would allow us, employ us to help you with this project. What we suggest is that every single employee in your organization, in every occupation, has specific place within that market range. And the faster, the sooner you identify that place within the market range, the better retention you will provide to this employee, retention policy. Some employees belong to midpoint, median. Some employees belong to 75th, 80th percentile. And what you can identify is what is the gap between current salary and where they actually should be in the labor market. That's important. And again, just a reminder that we studied ranges, not salaries.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I still am concerned about what you, I think it was Andy, you said that it would be an across-the-board increase of 4.25% for this year, for this, and then the following fiscal year, it would be another 4.25%. For everybody across the board?
No, ma'am.
Okay, help me understand that.
Mayor Winfield, Councilmember Jones-Ivy. Next year is not been determined, of course, at this point. The plan for this current year is threefold. One is to bring anybody who's below the minimum of the range to the bottom. There'd be a general increase of 4.25 for this fiscal year. And then a third project of addressing compression in this fiscal year. And then the assumptions around what could be next year's compensation plan proposal is definitely, we have a long way to go. So let's see how the data unfolds before we get ahead of ourselves. But let's, I think we should always be considering a couple factors. One is, how do we keep ourselves competitive? And then how do we make sure that we're sustainable and we have a five-year plan to address that?
Is that your phase two?
I'm sorry?
And when are you going to be rolling out phase two to us as a council?
Mr. Mayor, if I may jump in on that one. The plan, Councilmember Jones-Ivy, is the budget includes $1.2 million in the general fund for the implementation of the classification compensation plan. That's just the general fund, so the other funds will cover themselves. We estimate about $650 to $675 for this initial implementation, and that's bringing people to the bottom of the range. The 4.25 has been calculated separately. That was already in the budget at another location, which leaves about let's say round up to about $500,000 available for a compression adjustment in the general fund. So what we're going to do is we're going to develop the model, and we need to do an analysis. We're building a model with finance to find out how we can apply that additional $500,000 in the current fiscal year. We anticipate before the end of this calendar year for that compression adjustment. If that $500,000 will get us where we need to be, I won't need to come back to council. I have the authority to go ahead and just implement the compression adjustment accordingly. If after we analyze things, we really feel strongly that we should go somewhat further and we need some additional resources, then I will come back to council and we'll unveil the plan to you and ask for those additional resources. If you think about it in terms of what a 3% generally cover, a 3% across the board is about it's about $450,000 to $500,000. But this won't be another across the board. It will be based on how long people have in their ranges, and we have a lot of newer employees who will see a much smaller additional increase than those people who have been in their positions a lot longer. And so we'll need to analyze it, but I do feel confident we'll be able to make meaningful compression adjustment with that $500,000 in the general fund, and then, as I mentioned, the other funds will cover those additional costs themselves.
I guess my concern is that I know we have in the budget right now for this fiscal year $850,000 for the initial 4.25.
Mr. Mayor, increase,
is that right?
Mr. Mayor, Council Member Jones-Ivey, we actually have $1.2 million in the general fund budget for this implementation. So we're only
using
a
portion.
Tell
me that again, I'm sorry, we have how much?
Certainly, we have $1.2 million in the budget for this implementation, and this again does not include the police implementation.
Correct.
That was separately budgeted and accounted for.
I understand.
So that $1.2 million is for, we're only going to use about $675 of that for the general fund initial implementation, which leaves us the balance for a compression adjustment. So we are still going to be making further adjustments to employee salaries based on their years of experience in the position. So we're moving forward with, as I mentioned, developing a model for that.
Okay, because I was very concerned, and I know I didn't mishear what I heard, that it was going to be a 4.2 increase this year, 4.2 next year, and I'm just, I really want to understand this so that I can make an informed vote on this. So you're saying that it's 1.2 currently in the budget?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Jones-Ivey, yes. And we also have included that $1.2 million plus an estimated, I believe we included for next in our, typically, you know, we presented to you the forecast for the five-year forecast when you approved the budget. Mm-hmm. And we did include this base amount of money, so that what was estimated to implement it, plus our estimated increases for continuing to make or to provide raises for our ongoing employees in our forecast as well. So that is also very important. We want to be prudent, and we want to make sure that we can afford what we're going to implement over time.
Okay, because that's my main concern.
Yes,
was
ma'am.
This going to get to a point where, you know, 4.25 was going to go on indefinitely, and we end up at a point where we could not afford the salaries?
We're only at 1 year for 4.25. We will come back to you, and the budget for next fiscal year will have its own request.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Solomon.
First, I'd like to, if people weren't aware of it already, is after our concerns were raised 2 weeks ago, we each had meetings with the consultant and our HR director. They were, I know my meeting, and Joyce was in it with me, was like 2 hours long. And we did get a lot of the, at least for myself, almost all the information I was concerned about. For example, as discussed, how we weighted or how the consultants weighted a director's position in the city of Tucson or Pima County and Marana when they went and did the comparison to Oro Valley. So as far as the salary ranges, or I should say the job ranges that we're talking about now, I believe the vast majority of my questions were answered. I understand what this range system is. And also was discussed, most of our concerns, certainly my concerns, were concerns that would be addressed in what we're calling the follow-up or phase two. And I just want to state what my assumptions are, and you can correct me if I'm incorrect, because my basis for being in favor of the current range approval is that we're going to be continuing on to phase two. That's going to include taking a look at steps in different areas. For example, records and dispatchers, so that there's a finer graduation based upon experience and job duties. Also at the higher end, for example, our planning manager is also the zoning administrator. So I want to make sure that responsibility is taken into account. Another example would be our Public Works Director is also our town engineer, which is a principal engineer, which, you know, is different than a regular engineer. A principal engineer can actually legally sign documents, and now they're legally responsible if the building collapses. Take note of that, please. I could also bring up our IT top fellow. I mean, he also is a master beer brewer. Now, I don't know if that's going to get factored into his range, but those are the things that I'm concerned about, and I'm assuming are going to be in that. Also, my concern is that when people are promoted, my understanding is traditionally we start them out at the very low end of the range, and I think that's something that needs to be looked at to say, should that be across the board or should that be done on a case-by-case basis? The other concern are the top-outs, as I've expressed. I don't know why our most valuable long-term people, if they're, quote, topped out, they don't get the benefits of any types of increases, cost of living or merit. So I think that that's something I certainly want to look at. And unless there's a compelling reason, I would say, well, the top out, the top range gets adjusted. If someone's currently at the top range now and there's a 4.25% increase, then they should be getting the 4.25%. And I said, basically looking at adjusting, and I think we've just touched on this, salary based on experience and the number of years they've been doing a job. And my only other concern was when this would be done, we'd like to see it. I know Joyce expressed this too. We'd like to see it sooner than later. Unfortunately, it sounds like the scope is going to require more time, but I definitely would want to see it prior to the budget of next year so this can all be factored into it. So those are, that's basically my comments on it. Thank you. Yeah, thank
Mr. you. Mayor, if I may respond to Councilmember Solomon. Thank you, Councilmember Solomon. Yes, we have heard you loud and clear. We are 100% in favor of what we're calling job banding, which is providing opportunities within job classifications for those bump ups. That is absolutely on our list to develop. We also are will in fact take a look at when it comes to the individual compensation, which of course is not the range, but we'll explore that, and in some cases it may be that they'll get another year of credit or something like that when we do placements in the range. We'll build that into the model, and those are fair comments that you mentioned. We certainly want our employees to be fairly paid. I will commit to you to at least explore the potential unintended consequences of having a hard top to the range. I'm at this juncture, I would tell you that I have not typically been in favor of it, but given that it's something that the council would like us to explore again, we will explore it. And then I can certainly return back to you and let you know what my findings are in terms of what that final decision is, or if there's some sort of an alternate that we might want to consider. In general, the market establishes the range for what a job is paid. Perhaps what we can do, as you probably already know, Councilmember Solomon, because you've been on the council a while, but we do provide a number of opportunities for employees to promote in the organization, and that's really the way for them to get additional salary. We provide education reimbursement. We've had a number of employees get degrees on the town dime, or mostly on the town dime, and hopefully maybe with some of these banding opportunities we'll be able to correct those issues. But they're all very fair, and I appreciate your comments. Thank you, sir.
As I do as well.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. I just want to follow up on a couple of questions. I think Council Member Jones-Ivy was getting at what is the, you say you have $1.2 million for implementation of this part of the plan, but there's an additional implementation of the 4.25%. So what is the amount for the 4.25%? Because I heard the same number that she did. So I just want to verify that.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, and I believe as I was thinking about it, why my math wasn't quite adding up is because part of that 1.2 was $125,000 that went from our 3% to the 4.25. And so if we shave that off the top, we still have just under $500,000 for the compression adjustment. The rest of that 3% was already built into our base budgets within all of our departments and was not called out specifically. It was already included in our estimates for the within each department and their personnel. So it was just that additional 1.25% that added to the 1.25 from the 3% that was originally in the recommended budget.
So what is the total cost of the implementation of this pay plan plus the recommended plus the 4.25%?
The four...
$1.2 million for this pay plan plus the cost of the 4.25%, right?
Plus 3%, which was already in the budget. And I believe if I don't think Ms. Gomez, do you remember what we estimate for the 3% across the board for the general fund in general? Because we did include those in our in the flat recommended budgets for each of the departments.
Yes, that's correct. We did include the 3% in the manager's recommended budget. If my memory serves me correctly, that's what I was kind of leaning towards, about 400,000, 350, 400,000 for the 3%.
Right. So that was already built in. So if we take the 1.2, we minus out the 125, we've got about $1,075,000. That is the implementation. My commitment to you, and again, we're talking general fund, of course, is that you've given me a budget, and we've estimated a budget of $1,075,000 for this initial implementation, which is moving everybody to the bottom of the range and the compression adjustment. I will stay within that. And that's what we budgeted for our projections in our five-year forecast. And so if I feel strongly that that's not enough, I will come back to you with justification and with projections with an updated forecast that would explain why it needs to be something different. In speaking with Mr. Vitava, we feel pretty confident that we will be able to make a meaningful compression adjustment with the remainder of the resources that have been budgeted for this initial implementation.
Then I also want to just ask, based on former Mayor Loomis's comments, do we have a comprehensive policy for compensation plans? He states that we previously had one in 2010. Is that something we still have and are following?
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, my silence is probably deafening. I don't know the answer to that. So by extension, as I joined the team, the study was underway. We had already determined that we were going to use a labor market evaluation to place classifications in the range and talk about what that new structure would look like, including the $15 an hour minimum wage. Those were the factors that we talked about since my joining the team. If there was a comprehensive written policy, I have not seen that.
Mr. Mayor and Vice Mayor Barrett, we did make some significant changes to our administrative directives and policies in the Human Resources Department shortly after I got here. I don't recall one on compensation. I can tell you that the ordinance, the personnel ordinance, does have some general information in there about the benefits. That's also why the town council is required by ordinance to adopt the general pay plan every year. And then it has some broad statements in there, and of course a list of all the different benefits we will offer, health, and we will provide retirement and that sort of thing. So and then it gives it basically delegates to the town manager and designees the ability to place people in ranges according to, with some caveats, you know, if it's over the first quartile, it needs town manager approval, that kind of thing.
Other questions? Councilmember Bowen?
The nature of this is such that I think it's simply a mathematical problem that we can fully understand before we have to vote on and approve it. I move that we continue this item such that these answers can be provided before we vote on it.
Second.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Solomon.
I think that we have enough information for the salary ranges, and I hate to continue to keep delaying it. I think the crux of the matter is the more personal evaluations in phase two. Remember, this isn't going to be implemented until it's approved. Now, I wasn't ready to approve it 2 weeks ago because we didn't have the information, but I believe all the necessary information was provided to us. I don't know what other mathematical information we would need to make our policy decision on this. So I would not be in favor of delaying it.
Councilman or Vice Mayor Barrett.
All right. I think our staff is doing an excellent job, and I believe that we do need to be sure to be paid competitively. However, I feel uncomfortable with some of the data, and most of that is because of what's previously been discussed, that 50% of our salary weight is being given to jurisdictions 10 times the size and budget of ours, and all the jurisdictions we're comparing ourselves against, including Marana, are larger jurisdictions than we are. So in terms of finding where that midpoint is, in our meetings, we had an opportunity to look at a few individual positions, and I did see that there definitely are individual positions that need these salary ranges moved. And it may very well be that this is the exact place that we need to end up. But for me personally, having not seen that data, I really would like to see us do some comparisons with more similarly sized jurisdictions like Sierra Vista, Sarita, they both start with an S. Sarita, maybe even Sierra Vista, Casa Grande. We've got some other southern Arizona jurisdictions that are more comparably sized to ours. And so it could be that we end up in the same location, but just since this is an ongoing revenue from taxpayer dollars, I just want to feel comfortable and sure about that. And to the degree possible, I'd like to be able to make that information public. So that's kind of the things that I'd like to see if, in terms of if we were to vote to continue to get some of those answers back and also verify whether or not we have a comprehensive written compensation plan and make sure we follow those policies.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon?
Okay, some questions. I know this was already discussed, but could you please reiterate how you weighted the different positions to even them out from larger employment areas such as, or municipalities such as the city of Tucson and Pima County, because I know you have that in the report. I know it's in your data. Us continuing it, asking for what's already in the report and your data doesn't seem to make sense. Would you please reiterate that component so council can understand?
When we only have three, Mr. Mayor, Council Member, Mr. Solomon, when we only have three sources, Marana was given 50% weight, Pima County 25%, and City of Tucson 25%. When we had more sources, including Economic Research Institute, Economic Research Institute government segment of your budget size was given 15% to 20%, and in some cases where it was not government specific job like IT, like CIO and director of IT, we were given 15% of Economic Research Institute your budget size private sector. That all was aggregated, and the average range numbers from minimum to maximum were calculated.
Okay, so you did take into account the responsibilities, as you had said, and the size, where a director is strategic, whether it's in Pima County, Tucson, the school district, Marana, or Oro Valley, and then yet you still also did the weighting. Now, another comment was about going to different areas. If I recall, didn't you mention that one of the significant components was you looked at what was considered to be the labor pool, where people would come to work for Oro Valley or people would leave to Oro Valley? So could you elaborate on that? Do we need to worry about what's going on up in Flagstaff or, you know, somewhere in California?
We follow the concept of relevant labor market, and we define relevant labor market as where you lose your qualified staff and where you gain your qualified staff. So where you hire your employees and where you lose them. Incidentally, you can lose somebody to Chicago, that may happen once in a while, but generally your labor market is Southern Arizona, city of Tucson, Pima County. That's why we thought that this is your relevant. Majority of the jobs, by the way, most of the jobs are not size sensitive. So it really doesn't even matter, like your accountant or your heavy equipment operator. Even management jobs, they have the same responsibilities as in larger organizations. Size doesn't matter. In case of directors, we again reduce those weights. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to get clarification. There's been, so I've heard some different numbers, and so now these numbers are all over the place. There was a number of approximately 825,000 was the cost to implement, I thought was the changes in the general pay plan. I've heard this evening, so I've heard the 825,000. This evening I've heard 1.2 million. And of that 1.2 million, the 650 to 675, it sounds like, would actually accommodate these changes. And then the additional 500,000 approximately is the 4.25% increase. But then I also heard a 1.75 million. So I have to admit, I'm not necessarily in favor of continuing this, but I would like to get clarification on the cost to implement.
Certainly. Mr. Mayor, you're fair. It is a little bit confusing. The total number that is in your agenda book is across all funds. Okay, so that's water fund, that is the community center fund, the stormwater fund, and the HERF fund. So so that $875,000, which is what we estimated is the total, including what we call the ERE, right, which is the Medicare, the Social Security, we added all of that in together, the state retirement contributions. So that's across all funds. While we didn't go down to the NITNAT by employee, based on good data that we have, out of that total number, we estimate between $650,000 and $675,000 will be attributed to the general fund. So the original recommended budget included the 3% merit increases for employees. When the after following our getting our preliminary information from HR No, which also resulted in the town council approval of the police MOU, and that information, my recommendation at that time was that we increase the salary adjustment across the board for employees from 3% to 4.25. So we needed to add a few more bucks to the to the budget. We also, since what was originally set aside in the recommended budget was used only for the implementation of police, that was $1.2 million, and it needed to be applied only to the police officers. We needed to add some more money to the budget for the rest of the employees in the organization, I'm going to speak to general fund. So in doing our estimate and looking at our available resources and the preliminary information that we had, we estimated that we could do the initial implementation and add that 1.25 additional percent for a total increase in the budget of $1.2 million, and that's what the town council adopted, and that's what's included. So out of that $1.2 million in the general fund, deduct $125,000 from for the across the board increase to 4.25. That leaves a net of $1,075,000 for the implementation in the general fund of the classification compensation plan. We estimate about $650,000 to $675,000 is what's necessary to do the initial implementation, which is just moving people to the bottom of the range. So just making sure that my math is right, I'm just going to do this. If we assume that it's $675,000, we'll have about $400,000 left for implementation of the compression adjustment, which is about 3%. If we were to give everyone across the board 3% in the general fund, including the police officers, which, of course, that gives you a flavor for how much money that is that we have available for a compression adjustment, and it could be as much as $425,000. So we still think that that is a meaningful number that we can do something with and that we can apply accordingly in this process.
And that meaningful number, just for clarification, is 1.2 million total. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. And just for clarification, I believe I heard this from you, Ms. Jacobs, that by adopting this general pay plan, that the five-year forecast that was presented to council included this compensation adjustment, is that correct? To speak to the town's ability to pay into the future.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And I have just one other, and this is probably for you, Andy, to kind of speak to this. I think it's really a perception or this appearance about of the 30 positions where there's this 10% variance, you know, and over the 22 out of the 30 kind of fallen under the manager, directors, assistant directors. Can you just speak to that appearance of possible bias or perception, just the justification for those that significant variances in those positions, the manager, directors, assistant directors?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, members of council, the 300 level, as we've described, used a weighted median, just like the other positions. The percentages were slightly different because of the data available. Those positions that you referenced were found to be significantly below the labor market, as defined in the study. And the perception that those variations, like, say, 10%, 15%, are not actual salary increases for individual employees. The plan is for anybody who would be below the range would come up to the bottom. And of those 13 that you're referencing, there would only be one person in that group. And then, like all the rest of the employees, there would be a 4.25% increase on base thereafter. And that's what would be the compensation an individual level for the individuals in the 300 range. So the conclusion is why we keep talking about structure versus pay is that the structure does in fact move to match the labor market, but it doesn't mean that those individuals are going to get those large pay increases.
Thank you. We have a motion to continue. More questions, discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett?
I'd just like to ask a follow-up question on the mayor's excellent question. So you mentioned that there's $650 to $675 in the general fund, and the $1.2 million is in the general fund. But what about if there's $875 to implement across funds? That means there's $200,000 roughly across funds. So then what is the total cost to implement across funds if that $1.2 million is only for the general fund?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Vice Mayor Barrett. I'll have to get you the final numbers, but with the health of our other funds, we were focused on and typically are focused on the implementation cost in the general fund. But I will have to get back to you that final number. And it will change based on if we lose people, we're hiring people, and so there's a little bit of a moving target. They're good, solid estimates. I didn't pull up my spreadsheets that I did have back at my office, and I apologize for that in advance.
So we don't have in front of us the total cost of all pay increases for this year in terms of the salary adjustments up, the 4.25%, plus the planned compression adjustment.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Barrett, the town's adopted budget is the guidance that I have for implementation. And my job, and you have my commitment to do this, is to make these adjustments based on what's included in the budget, and I won't go higher than that. And so we've included resources in each of the fund's budgets to cover this, and we aggregated this initial phase because we haven't done the modeling for phase two. And so I can't give you that total number for the compression adjustment because we haven't done it. I'm happy to come back to you with that information before it goes into effect. The only thing that we have calculated is the implementation of this new pay plan and moving people up to the ranges. And then our merit increases have always been included in each of the departmental budgets, and that's not going to change. So that's already built into the base budget in each of our departments.
Councilmember Bowen?
Some clarification for the numbers I was looking for. About 20 minutes ago, I thought the cost of the general fund was actually stated by the town managers, $1,075,000. Now, as I listen further, it sounds to me more like it's $1,200,000. Something else that's missing is that phase two modeling. So I just wanted to clarify my comments. I see a lot of question marks here. It would be much better for us, rather than scratching our heads, to all be looking at a chart that shows here are all the different elements that impact the cost of this, so that we as a council can understand exactly why it costs what it does. I honestly thought, and I'm going to go back and listen to it, I thought I heard from the town manager, give me $1,075,000 and I'll do what I can with that. And that's a noble effort, but that's not the cost of something. That's basically just setting an expense ceiling for what we're going to do. I'd rather know the cost up front before I approve it, and that's why I made the motion. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett.
Councilmember Bowen, would you be willing to amend your motion to include asking that we get some more data from similarly sized jurisdictions, or are you just wanting to get the numbers clarified?
I think data from similarly sized jurisdictions is the most important data we can have. And you guys weren't in the meetings that I have, but I made the point to Andy and Igor, I thought the Marana weighting should be 80 to 90% of what we did. So yes, Vice Mayor, I do agree to modify the motion in that way.
Then I second that.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon?
What kind of expense is that going to be to us to continue the study and now add the scope of the study, and what time frame are we looking at? We don't have another meeting scheduled until September. This is looking like it's going to get pushed out to the end of the year. So what is the cost going to be? What's the time frame going to be? And what's the impact on our staff who are now not going to be range adjusted until this new study is done?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Solomon, I don't have an answer for the question. Adding additional comparators will require us to go back to HR No with a contract amendment and have them reconduct portions of the study. And so we'd have to work with them based on their availability timetable and I'm confident that Igor would move things along as quickly as he could. But it would take a little bit of time, so we can certainly circle back with you on. I don't want to put him on the spot. That's not fair to do that here at this in public. That's something for our procurement administrator to work with him on.
And additionally, I hear everyone, and of course we should be concerned with the total cost. But once again, what's before us is not the 4.25% pay raise, or pay raises from phase two. This is simply the cost of adjusting the ranges. So what we would be voting on tonight on just this one component, what is the cost for that? The other costs were already, the 4.25% is, the horse has left the barn. We already approved that. The people are getting that. So we don't need, all we really need to know is, what cost are we looking at to adjust these salary ranges?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Solomon, that information was included in your agenda packet, and that number is $875,000 across all funds, and for that includes all of the ERE benefits for all of the positions.
Okay, thank you.
Any more discussion? Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
Yeah, I do agree that to add more comparisons, more cities. I'm not feeling that I need that. I just want to be comfortable with how much this is ultimately going to cost us, because I would like to move this forward tonight. Thank you.
Councilmember Green.
It seems to me that we're not listening to our experts. We've spent a lot of money to get some really good people here, and the comparisons they made were the ones that they felt were most appropriate. Are we going to jump into their career and outthink them? I think we have the information we need.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Igor, this is for you, obviously. I remember you're saying you could do something, it wouldn't be too difficult, and you could probably do it quickly without a cost, because you're very nice. And then there was something that was more, it was going to cost more money because it was a lot more work. Do you remember what those two questions were? Can you explain that a little bit real quick? And maybe that'll help us make a decision, I guess, hopefully.
What we were saying is, if you want to add one or two towns and a few jobs, we will do it for free, considering our due diligence and respect to Town of Oro Valley council members and mayor and your staff and HR department. If you want us to do this for all jobs, that's a big project. But we're talking about four or five jobs that somehow, and most of them have more than three sources, where City of Tucson and Pima County were had like 10% weight or 15% weight. We only have four or five executive jobs, like directors of heads of the department, that we can go ahead and take a look real quick. We can do that within 1 week, and okay. Provide you with additional information. But and again, I appreciate all the comments here, because and the notion that you're not approving pay increases. We are talking about ranges. If that 300 pay structure, It's not going to change regardless how many or what cities or towns we're going to study. It's a jobs moving to those 300 different pay grades. They may move upper or lower. And like I said, we make this commitment, we'll do that real quick.
I'd ask Tim and Melanie if you guys would be okay with that, just doing one or two towns and maybe just a couple employees to do it quickly and free. And then I thank you, Igor, for offering that to us. But I don't know if you'd be able to amend the motion to just do that.
I don't really see the value in that. We cherry pick one or two or three. What do we really learn from that other than that we can do it quickly? And I can see there's some town employees here. I want you guys to have your raises yesterday. But we're here doing our job tonight. We were asking questions 2 weeks ago and digging into this and trying to learn what we want to learn in order for us to do our job as well as we can. For me, personally, the time, I'm glad to meet on July 3rd. I volunteered for this job, and I want to do it as well as we can. The fact that meetings just happen to be canceled coming up is not going to impact my feelings as to what we need to do in order to make the right decision. And that's why I will hold the motion as it is. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor? So the motion is to continue and to add additional towns as comparators. Is that correct? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those that oppose say nay.
Nay. Nay.
Abstain.
Okay, so we have four nays, one sustain, and two yays, so the motion fails.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon?
I'd like to move that we approve resolution number R22-32 adopting the 2022-23 general pay plan for the town of Oro Valley.
Second.
Any discussion? Vice Mayor Barrett?
Thank you. I just want to elaborate on the reason I feel that there needs to be more data. I think it's been made mostly clear. However, most of the positions where there was the widest variation were at those higher levels where the amount and size and scope and scale do matter in terms of the position, or at least in my mind, ought to matter. All of the towns and cities we compared ourselves against were Marana, Tucson, and Pima County. And those are all three bigger jurisdictions than Oro Valley with larger budgets than Oro Valley. While Pima County and Tucson were weighted only 25% each, that 25% is added together to be 50%. So 50% of the weighting of that was from jurisdictions that are 10 times the size of our budget and our population. So that's kind of where my thought comes from. And I also want to clarify that it seemed that the consultant was not necessarily, and Andy also, you were not all the ones who chose the jurisdictions. That seemed like something that was being done in collaboration with the whole staff in terms of those jurisdictions. And so I just would still like to see that data. But I'm not against making the pay adjustments. However, I feel uncomfortable doing it without seeing more comparable towns. Thanks.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Once again, all these, we have to deal with the job markets that we're getting employees from and are losing employees from. These are the ones we need to deal with. Just because something is the same size doesn't mean that it's legitimate to add into the study. That's why we hire and pay large amounts of sums to the experts. We're not the experts. Council shouldn't say, I want you to compare city A, B, C, D, and E. If we're going to do that, let's not hire the experts. Let's save our money and just make our best guess, because that's the bottom line. They've explained time after time after time why the municipalities were chosen that were chosen for comparison and how they weighted those. Once again, 2 weeks ago, I wasn't comfortable because I wasn't sure which municipalities. We hadn't seen the data. We hadn't seen the weighting. We have now. So, you know, if our attitude's going to be, we know better than any expert we hire, let's not waste our time and money and a taxpayer's time and money by hiring the experts. So, once again, I'm completely in favor of let's get this done. We say, oh, we're concerned about our employees and their pay, but we don't mind delaying this for 12 months. Well, our staff sure as all the heck minds this being delayed for 12 months because they got to go to the grocery store. They got to go to the gas station. So I'm just strongly in favor of wrapping this up now. I think we've had an enormous amount of information provided to us after we expressed all our concerns. And I think, you know, certainly any major questions have all been answered.
Mr. Rothschild, I know we've had the motion. We're in discussion. Can I ask Igor a question as part of this?
Sure.
Okay. So Igor, just to speak to the waiting. I mean, I understand that the towns that were selected is because 75% of our employees come from that market area. That's why these communities were identified: Marana, Tucson, Pima County. In terms of the weighting, 50% Marana, 25% Tucson, Pima. The vice mayor made this point. That's 50%. Can you just, given your professional background, and the weighting was something that your company did. It wasn't, as I understand it, when we met with you for 2.5 hours. That was your decision, not staff's decision. So could you just elaborate a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, that was only case where we only had three comparators, Pima, Tucson, and Marana. In many cases, we had more. We included, in most cases, we had more. We included Tucson Unified School District. We included ERI government segment and ERI private segment. And in those cases, Tucson and Pima County had lower weight. We certainly could go back and look at it. When you aggregate data, when there's multiple sources, based on our experience, you're not going to get big difference. If I already made the commitment that we can free of charge, we're not going to add any hours. We can go back. We can look at waiting again. If needed, we can look at Saurita. I don't know if you need Sierra Vista, or we can look at Casa Grande. But in my opinion, our waiting was justified.
And when you say there were only three cases, you're talking about three positions when you say cases?
I'm talking about three jobs, yeah.
Three jobs.
A few job classifications. Because that was this whole issue about many of those who are below, more than 10% below the market, many of those are professional jobs. You have engineers, you have some senior level professionals, you know, in IT. Those IT jobs were way below the market, and that's IT market is moving very fast. That's no surprise. And the influence of private sector for IT and other functional areas is very strong today. We're really talking about you based on questions I got during our sessions, there were really just few jobs, few directors that you questioned. Mm-hmm. Again, you can approve it or disapprove it. I will still, you don't have to vote for it. I can look it up if you want. Like I said, we made a commitment to Town of Oroville. We want to make it right. I'll look it up, but it's not going to give you much value.
So I just want to, and I think you stated it there, because in my meeting with you, my understanding or what I remember from that was, in your professional opinion, by doing this other comparative analysis, that essentially we would reach the same outcome, in your professional opinion. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Igor, but...
That is correct. When you have more than three sources and you average them out, influence on one or the other, I mean, changing slightly one or the other, not going to make a big difference. They're still going to fall within the same pay range.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay.
Nay.
So the ayes have it 6-1. Thank you, Igor. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
And thank you for all those that were involved in this process. Any future agenda items? Councilmember Green?
I would like to examine the safety of the light poles at the Narana Park, and the process by which we select and execute public art.
I'll second.
Mr. Mayor, I do want to note that Councilmember Green did mention the safety issue at your prior meeting, and so we have that scheduled for your next meeting already, and we'll add that other one to your future agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Councilmember Bowen?
I'd like to request a future agenda item for a staff report on the progress of the Hawk Signal on Naranja, just west of La Cholla.
Second.
Okay. Any other future agenda items? I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Good night, everyone.